Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Baker, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 20th, 2023, or it is the 29th day of the Adar, 2026. We will start our first service today with the song and then bring them in from the fields of sin. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua, to go and help the shepherd find, help him the wandering ones to find, to bring them back into the fold, where they'll be shepherded from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua. Out in the desert, hear the cry. Out on the mountains, wild and wild. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua. We're going to do track 14, War News Forecast. We've done this many times before, I guess, but we're going to need to do it again to refresh us on some present truth that we need to know. Digest of Nahum's prediction. We're on page 3, actually, of War News Forecast. When the church raged in the street, when they jostle one against another in the broad road, when they speed like the lightning and glare like the torches in that day, shall one who dashes in pieces prepare himself and come up before your face, O King of Assyria. He shall make you empty, void and waste. Your heart shall melt, your knees shall smite together. There shall be much pain in your loins, and the faces of all shall gather brightly. Woe unto your bloody city that is like the Nineveh of old, for it is full of the lies and of the robbery. The prey departs not, the noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots are in his midst. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that says, O Judah, keep your solemn feast, perform your vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. For now will the Yahshua break the Assyrian yoke from off your neck, burst your bonds in sunder, and set you free. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power. His way is in the whirlwind and in the storm. For the clouds are the dust of his feet. He is jealous and will take vengeance on his adversaries. is also a stronghold in the day of the trouble, and those in the trust in him, that he will make an utter end of the wicked. Darkness shall pursue his enemies. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Nahum beholds two great powers in conflict, projected unto a day when everything on wheels moves like the lightning. Then by the way of a sharp contrast, he focuses his attention on one who walks openly on the mountains, not obscurely in the valleys, and who publishes peace rather than war. For he urges Judah to be faithful in order for the affection of that peace, assuring her that the wicked will no longer be in her midst, and that she will be set free from the Assyrian yoke. At the same time, he beholds Yahweh's great power, his jealousy over his people, and his vengeance on their enemies. While envisioning the might of these two belligerent powers, now this is what's going on right today. This prophecy has been pulled out today, actually, between the moral majority and the left democratic dissidents, the immoral and lawless of this country and of the world. While envisioning them out of these two belligerent powers, Nahum at the same time envisioned the liberation of the church from the Assyrian yoke, recorded in chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, and in chapter 2, verse 2, and also the vengeance of Yahweh recorded in the chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. For the facilitating of the reader's comprehension of these three all-inclusive aspects of this forecast, this tract deals separately with each. Now, then, who specifically are the actors in this dramatized forecast, especially who, under the present or future setup of the nation, could these two belligerent powers possibly be? And have they yet come to grips? If not, when are they destined to do? If we desire to know for a certainty the answers to these inevitable questions, we shall find them in the outline for analysis. Two powers are seen rising in their might against each other. Indeed, the all-consuming concern of the Nahum's entire book, the three short chapters in all, centers in the preparation for this conflict. The conflict itself and the titles of the powers involved. For the first clue to this solution is that the war preparation takes place when chariots with the flaming torches rage in the streets. That's now. That's now more so than it was 75 years ago when this was about somehow written during World War II in the 40s. Just one against another in the broad rage and run like the lightning, Nahum 2, 3, and 4. It is self-evident that these preparations are made when the thoroughfares of the city and countryside are congested with the vehicular traffic. The second clue is that the conflict itself takes place when mechanized power is developed under such a degree that the vehicles are driven at a speed, which means lightning alert, The war itself, consequently, is to be fought by the mechanized armies. For the third clue is that the one power being called Assyria has a hereditary title which reveals that it is the modern counterpart of the once widespread empire of the ancient Assyria. Even as the modern Babylon of Revelation 17 verse 5 is the modern counterfeit of the ancient Babylon, and as the spiritual Egypt of the Revelation 11 verse 8 is the modern counterpart of the ancient Egypt. See the Great Controversy, page 269-270. All of these counterparts then are but another scriptural intimation and confirmation of the age-old truth that history repeats itself and on a much broader scale than in the original. For we are standing on the threshold of the great and solemn events. Many of the prophecies are about to be fulfilled, and in a quick succession, every element of the power is about to be set to work. Past history will be repeated, old controversies will arouse to new life, and the peril will beset Yahweh's people on every side. And intensity is taking hold of the human family, for it is permeating everything upon the earth. Testimonies unto the Ministers, page 116, by the E.G. White. For the clincher is that the other power, he that dashes in pieces, has an acquired title earned by the virtue of his exploit, manifested therefore it designates a nation that is headed by a ruler of no royal line, but of anomalous character and unprecedented might, whose military genius scatters and destroys all who dare oppose him. Regardless of whether this four-way key discloses these two camps to be the Axis and the United Nations, today one's only safety from being taught and ruined sooner or later in this predicted struggle is to follow strictly the path which Yahweh has prophetically mapped out. Indeed, the prophecies are given for no other reason than to illumine the traveler's steps to safety. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Proverbs 11:9. Now, with the key in hand, we shall be able to unlock the mystery, beginning with the belligerent struggle, Nahum chapter 1. Starting with verse 10 and 11, for while they be folded together as the thorns, united with others to protect themselves, and while they are drunken as drunkards, that is, filled with the theory, they shall be devoured as the stubble fully dry, as when a fire sweeps through it. There is one come out of thee, out of a nation that is characterized by the ancient Assyria, that the imagine this evil against the Yashira as a wicked counselor. In the light of these passages, it becomes clear from the outset that though Assyria is armed and allied with the other strong nation, folded together as thorns, yet neither her armament nor her alliance will save her. For having become drunken as a drunkard, and having received wicked counsel of one that has come out of her, she shall be devoured as stubble fully dry, Thus saith Yahshua, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he that dashes in pieces shall pass through. That's Nahum 1:12, the first part. Chapter 2, Nahum, verse 1. He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Coming face to face with the might of him that dashes in pieces, Assyria is driven furiously for the fortifying of herself. And though in the addition unto her fortifications, the allied strength numerically is greater than the allied strength of him that dashes in pieces, if needed he be allied, if indeed he be allied at all, that even his very title indicates that against his might all the Assyrian strongholds shall be like fig trees, that the first ripe figs, if they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Nahum 3:12. Nahum chapter 2 verse 3 now. For the shield of his mighty man is made red, for the valiant men are in the scurious, the chariots shall be with the flaming torches, and the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. Very evident it is that this aggressive power who just dashes in pieces girds himself for war in the day when the chariots have such blazing lights, powerful electrical headlights, that they resemble flaming torches in the day of this phenomenon. The fir trees, the great rooters of the earth, Ezekiel 31:1-14, shall be terribly shaken. Am 2:4. For the chariots shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one against another in the broadways, they shall seem like torches, they shall run like the lightning. Again, there is no escaping to the conclusion that these two powerful powers have plunged into the war with each other at a time when everything vehicular is geared for the unprecedented speed, and that their feverish preparations for the combat must therefore include an intensified implementing of their fighting forces with the fast moving chariot. For the Daniel also was told that in the time of the end many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12:4. And succeeding for this deadly clash is in the day of the advanced mechanization. It could not have been World War I, because the preparation for that conflagration was in the process when the machine age was but in its infancy, even when the war was on. The chariots were too few, too feeble, and too slow to jostle one against another in the manner envisioned for the fulfilling of the prediction. These two powers must appear when the chariots are among, for the chariots are many and mighty and fast as they are today. This is not to say that the former world war is excluded from prophecy, but simply that an entirely different scriptural background is given for it. For the Savior himself predicted with a terrible exactness that fearful conflict climax in 19 centuries of wars and rumors of wars, when he declared, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be the famines and pestilences and earthquakes in the divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Nahum 24:7-8. Indeed, then, 1914 to 1918, for the first time since the dawn of the history, the nations and the kingdoms rose against each other. Famine stalked the war-ravaged countries. The deaths ahead of the pestilence followed after, and the earthquakes in the quick succession flung abroad of their devastation for the heaping power of the woes of the mankind. For all these calamities that led up unto the World War II as the most terrible one of all time, and truly indeed, as the sorrows of the World War I did signalize only the beginning of sorrows. Nahum 2:5-8, he shall recount his worthies, they shall stumble in their walk. That is, though he exults in them, they too, nevertheless, shall fall. They shall make haste unto the wall, fortress thereof, and the defense by the Assyria shall be prepared, for the gates of the rivers nevertheless shall be open, and the Assyrian palaces shall be dissolved. And Huzzab, H-U-Z-Z-A-B, of Assyria, shall be led away captive, and she shall be brought up, and her maids, nations under her rule, shall lead her as with the voice of the doves, tapering upon their breast. But the Nineveh, as the capital city, is of the old like a pool of the water. Yet they, that is, her citizens, shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. For unlike the flowing or undulating waters, water is a pool, and a pool stands still. But in this instance, the water's peoples and the capital city of the present-day Assyrians, contrary unto all expectations and their fighting tradition, flee away. And even when they hear the command to stand, they shall be so anxious to get out of the way of him that dashed in pieces, that they shall not dare look back. Hence, unto him that dashes in pieces, the command is, take ye the spoil of the silver, take the spoil of the gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. Nahum 2:9. Consequent unto giving this command for the despoiling of Assyria, the Yahshua turns unto the bloody city and pronounces upon her the resulting doom. Nahum 2:10-13. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions? That is the king's palace, and the feeding place of the young lions. That is the dominion of his princes. Where the lion, even the old lion, that is the head king, walked, and the lions whelped the king's son, and none made them afraid, for the lion did tear and pieces enough for his whelps and the strangle for his lioness queens, and filled his hold with the prey, and his den treasuries, that's the treasuries, with the revenue, that's the riches, with the raven, L-A-V-I-N. Behold, I am against thee, saith Yahshua of the host, that's the son of Yahweh. And I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Chapter 3, Nahum 1 through 19. Woe unto the bloody city, it is all full of the lies and robbers. Now this bloody city applies to the seventh day and the church as well. For the prey departeth not, for the noise of a whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and the jumping chariots. For the horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of the carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored Herod. The mystery of the rich God Christ has sold a nation through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I'm against thee, said Yahshua of the host, that's the son of Yahweh. And I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will sit thee as a gazing stock, and it shall come to pass that all they that looked upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste, who shall bemoan her? When shall I seek comforted for thee? Art thou better than popular snow that was situate among the rivers that had the waters round about it? Whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea, for the Ethiopian and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Put and Reuben were thy helpers, yet was she carried away. She went into the captivity, for her young children also were dashed into pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in the chains. Thou, Assyria, also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek the strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like the fig trees at the first ripe fig. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, they respond in the midst of thee. Behold, the people. In the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thy enemies, for the frost shall devour thy bars. Draw thee water for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brickman. For the manufacturing plant, this shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like the canker worm. Make thyself many as the canker worm. Make thyself many as the locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of the heaven. The canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crown underlords are the locust, and thy captains as the great grasshopper. Grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day, So when the sun arises, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. For they are lovers of ease and of pleasure. For that shepherd slumber, O King of Assyria, thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is as the scattered upon the mountains, and no man getteth them. There is no healing of thy bruises. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the brook of thee shall clasp the hands over thee, for upon whom hath not they wicked thy wickedness passed continually. Nevertheless, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, look up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Jeremiah 10:7-8. Feeling that the Yahshua is about to humiliate Assyria for her own good, but that he would forbear doing so if only she would repent as did the Nineveh of old. As a Jonah's warning, obviously, this forecast is published for the benefiting that the church alone, but Assyria and her allies also, and even their enemies. Nevertheless, if these belligerents will not voluntarily awaken unto the fact that destiny is not in their own hands, but in the mighty hands of the infinite and omnipotent Yahweh, then will he bring them involuntarily unto that realization and spare only their Yahweh-fearing citizens, as he declared. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrian. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, and even a blessing in the midst of the land, by whom the Yahshua of the host shall bless, saying, blessed be the Egypt, my people, and Assyria as the work of my hands, and Israel as mine inheritance. Isaiah 19:23-25. Thus, in his infinite mercy, would the Yahshua lift the burden of the Nineveh today, even as he did in the ancient days. Indeed, it is for a blessing in the midst of the land, even unto all nations, that he is to effect the church's liberation from the Assyrian yoke. Okay, it says Nahum 1:12. Thus saith Yahshua, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more, for now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in the sunder. This person thee, whom Yahshua has already chastened, obviously cannot be the Assyrian king or nation aforementioned, because Yahshua is delivering this one while he is beating the Assyrians to their knees at the hands of him that dashes in pieces. Just who this third character be here introduced may be is immediately established by the Isaiah in his correlated prophecy concerning this same Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day, declares the prophet, that his Assyria's burden shall be taken away from off by Judah's shoulder. Judah is the lawgiver of the house of David, the everlasting king of David, Daniel 2:44-45, here, that is set up in the days of these kings here. in the 12th parabolic jaw that runs since 2002. And he says, and his yoke, and Genesis 49:10, which is a prophecy, prophesying that Judah is the lawgiver, and this is what we're dealing with today, off of Judah's shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. That's the anointing of Judah, Isaiah 10:27, the house of David. Immediately we see that in the revealing light of this scripture, as the only THE, who in the both cases is set free in the time of the Assyrian fall, proves to be the church of Judah, that's the house of David, the lawgiver, 12 tribes, liberated in the form, 12 tribes in the form of 144,000 that come out of the Seventh Day Adventist Church, with the Judah, the lawgiver, in charge of the 12 tribes, house of David, liberated from the Gentile Assyrian. Roll if read this all again. Immediately we see that in the revealing light of this scripture, as the only THEE, who in the both cases is set free in the time of the Assyrians, fall proves to be the church Judah, that is the lawgiver, that is, as a matter of fact, that is your Davidian Seventh-day Adventist church. That's your Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. That's delivered. Judah, liberated from the Gentile Assyrian rule. Conclusively, that is in the time of the judgment of the living. That's the time that we're in now. In the 12th parabolic hour, we've been in this hour for 20 years. Consequently, therefore, Isaiah clarifies Nahum's prophecy as referring unto the church's liberation from the last day Assyrian yoke. For the fact, though, that the church, now when he's talking about the church's liberation, he's talking about the liberation of the 144,000, the two purified church. He's not talking about the liberation of the Seventh-day Adventist church, for she's the one that comes to her end after she delivers up the 144,000. Okay. As Nahum said, is not only to be relieved from the affliction and freed from the bondage, but is also to be sentenced unto death. Nahum 1:14 creates a paradox. But the inspiration, however, quickly clears up the paradox again through the Isaiah. Speaking of the church, he declares, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yeshua shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, Isaiah 65:15. Plainly, therefore, in the time when the Assyria crumbles, the Yeshua is to perform a dual work among his professed people, some of whom will be made free because of their faithfulness, and some of whom will be slain because of their wickedness. For the delivered ones will then be called by another name. This time of this work is termed harvest. Well, this would be in the 12th hour, the judgment of the living, the seventh seal opened, Revelation 8. In 2002, it started at the Passover, Matthew 13:30, at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas. Therefore, up until this time, that was in 2002, the tares, those who are to be slain, and the wheat, those who are to be delivered together, comprise the membership of the Laodicea, the last of the seven churches, Revelation 3:14-18, the church just before the tares are forever separated from the week, Matthew 13:30, very obviously then the penitent led of sin are separated from the impenitent ones during the Assyrian fall, and then are liberated from her rule. Nahum 1:14, and the Yahshua hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown out of the house of thy gods. Well, I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grace, but thou art vile. Thus, at this time, reveals forever perishes the idolater and his idol. For a detailed demonstration of this purification of the church, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is projected in the Ezekiel's prophecy. There the Yahshua commands him who records the life history, the history with the writer's ink on, to go through the city and to set a mark or seal upon those only who sigh and cry for all the abominations that are therein. Or you might say all the abominations that are there are practiced, that are practiced therein. Then the five others go after him for the slaying all who have not the mark. See Ezekiel 9, Testimonies and Ministers, page 445, Testimony, volume 3, page 266, and volume 5, page 211. For the city is figurative of the kingdom of the Judah and Israel, the 10 tribes, Judah 2 tribes. Here in these last days, that makes up the 144,000, the 12 tribes. For the church in which are to be found the 144,000 servants of Yahweh, testimonies to ministers, page 445, those who are to be called by another name after the unworthy servants are slain, and as the 144,000 are the first fruits, Revelation 14:4, of the harvest, they are the escaped of the Isaiah 66:19 and Ezekiel 9, for this separation of the tares from the wheat in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is for the signalizing of the beginning of the final harvest that takes place in the 12th periodic hour and the time of the judgment of the living. Yeah, that we're in, so we've been in for 20 years now. We're in the half hour silence, actually, where we're at between the transition of heaven, transition from the old, from the judgment of the dead in heaven to the judgment of the living here on earth. That started in 2002 at Kermit. That's the half hour silence began then. That half hour silence actually been going on for 20 years. Then will have come the time for the denominational name to cease, for all her idols to be cut off, and for a new name, Isaiah 62:2, to be given unto those who escape. Then will these escaped ones proclaim Yahweh's glory and his fame unto the Gentiles, and bring out for all the nations, all their brethren, all that will be saved to the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 6:16, 19 and 20. For such judgment to be averted, the entire church will have to repent of her erroneous thinking, begin to feel this discomfort and her lukewarmness, become either cold or hot, dissatisfied, and empty of self and filled with the Spirit. Let's read that again. For such judgment to be averted, the entire Seventh-day Adventist Church will have to repent of her erroneous thinking, that is, habit of thinking about apostatizing and accepting that false Catholic doctrine of the 3-in-1 persons of the Godhead, taking the mark of the beast, which they've already done. They're going to have to repent of all that. begin to feel discomfort in her lukewarmness, become either cold or hot, dissatisfied, and emptied of self, and filled with the Spirit. Revelation 3:14-18. Nahum 1:15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, O Judah. That is the lawgiver of the house of David. That's who we are today. Daniel 2, this great kingdom of heaven that's set up here on earth by Yahshua himself. It's at that time, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. For the term Judah attaches unto the Christian church not only because of the antithetical significance, but also because of the hereditary factor. This will be seen as we review Judah's history for the 10 tribes, the kingdom of the Israel, whereby the ancient Assyria dispersed throughout the cities of the Medes and assimilated by the Gentiles of that day, but it was not until years later that the two tribes, the kingdom of the Judah, were carried into the Babylon, into Babylon, remaining there until the expiration of the 70 years of the Jeremiah's prophecy, then returning unto their homeland. Thus it was only that this events of the kingdom of the Judah, who became so unfaithful that they rejected and crucified the Yahshua, verily the faithful from among them accepted him and became the apostolics as the founding members of the New Testament church, for the church herself therefore is the daughter of the kingdom of Judah. That's what B.T. Holland says, the Seventh Day Adventist church is the daughter of the kingdom of Judah, hence she is appropriately still called Judah. Well, we know the division of Seventh Day Adventist, Shepherd Rod, was raised up during the antithetical Judas period in our day, 1930-1970, and still been in charge to Gilead Center, 2010 actually. Judah and Gilead Center had a 40-year period as Rhodes W. Johnson as the kingdom of Esau, Jacob was to follow 2002, Jacob's kingdom, from the Esau's kingdom, while she is by the virtue of the parentage, faithfulness, and purity, absence of the terrors, entitled to be called Judah, still because of the last day lukewarmness and the resulting infiltration of the terrors into her membership, she is of the necessity, additionally, termed Laodicea. Applying the eye salve, Revelation 3:18, they shall behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, and beholding him, they shall accept his message and know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. Now, that's worth repeating. It says, for the applying of the eyesight, that is, being anointed with the inspiration. Revelation 3:18, they shall behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. And the feet of him that bringeth good tidings is Yahshua, that publishes peace, and beholding him, they shall accept his message and know the truth. And the truth shall make them free and shall save them from being spewed out of his mouth, Revelation 3:16. Therefore, only as they awake and give heed unto the voice of the true witness. And Yahshua says he's the true witness in Revelation 3:14 and Revelation 1:5, and turn their steps toward the gates of the kingdom, may they ever hope for the participating in the divine eventuality, owes you to keep us on a feast. God is the lawgiver in charge of the 12 tribes of Israel today, the 144,000, the house of David, the kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45. Keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vow. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. So he's admonishing Judah as a lawgiver that sits upon Jerusalem, where they have their capital city of Judah right there in Israel, it's upon Zion's hill, Jerusalem. Here in the prophetic utterance is not only a promise for the purifying of the church when the modern Israel is being crushed, but also a suggested statement as to what constitutes meeting the due season for men today, and as to what movement they are to enlist in if they would make sure of the salvation they are enjoying for the fixing of their vision upon the feet of him who brings good tidings, message from the Yeshua, who publishes peace, the peace of the Yeshua's kingdom, and who declares that while the powers of the earth are engulfed in a gigantic war, the wicked in the church shall be cut off, no more to pass through her. Specifically, the prophet exhorts all penitently to turn unto the house of the Judah, the latter-day kingdom of the Judah, Micah 4, Ezekiel 37:16-22, the church in the purification of which are to be sealed 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes as first fruit. And he urges the subjects of the kingdom to perform their religious duties and to keep their promises unto the Yahweh in the short. He admonished them to give heed unto the message of the hour. And that's the message we're for the hour today in the 12th periodic hour, as a message that announces the imminence of the church's purification. So it's the antithetical Elijah, Malachi 4:5, that gives this message, that announces it, that announces the imminence of the church's purification, after which, as the promise is, for the wicked shall no more pass through for he is utterly cut off. See also Matthew 13:30, 47:50, Isaiah 6:16, 19:20. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will raise unto the David a righteous branch. Now here it is right here. And we are this antithetical kingdom of David. Antithetical David right now speaking to you with the Elijah's message and the spirit and power of the Elijah. Just like John the Baptist was in his day, Yahshua says, that John the Baptist was the Elijah that had come, and they knew it now. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Okay, now this is, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahshua, or righteousness. That all applies right here to us, to this house of David, kingdom of David. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that they shall no more say, Yahshua liveth, which brought up the children of the Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yahshua liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of the Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Jeremiah 23:5-8. For the only way for the angel of the literacy, and that would be the minister or the prophet in charge of the seventh candlestick of the seventh day of insurance, and that would The last runner is Brother Steady Johnson. This is him. This message is addressed to you at this time. And we tell Rose this is addressed to the angel of the church in charge of the church at the present time. But the only way for the angel let us hear upon whom is the condemnation of being wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and yet satisfied for entering into this glorious kingdom is for him voluntarily to yield the reins of the control over the church as he sees that Yahshua himself taking him into his own hands. Testimonies of Ministers, page 300. And vows therefore, O angel, will let us ascend unto heaven's stirring fire. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Seek thyself from the dust and rise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together, shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52, 1, 2, and 8. If the present world war is the one predicted by the Nahum, and if the sealing or marking of the service of Yahweh is to be completed without the angels having again to tighten their hold on the winds, Revelation 7, 1, early writings, page 38, then it's time to restore the excellency of Jacob and of Israel, is it now? Well, it wasn't fulfilled at this writing of V.G. Hollis back in the 40s. About 75, 80 years ago, but it is present truth now. At long last has come the hour for Zion deliverance from the Gentile bondage and for her children to return unto the land of their fathers, Ezekiel 36, 23-38, for the vineyard of Yahshua the host. So let her stand ready and eager, awaiting her Yahshua's order for the starting of her marching thitherward, for it is at this time that the Assyria falls. And the reason being, Nahum 2:2, for the Yahshua hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches, having already through the emptiers chastened his people. Yahshua will chasten them no more, but will now free them, sharing with the nations a suit for the marring of the branches of his vineyard, his kingdom. This modern Assyria must now share in the divine retribution where Yahweh is taking his people back to their own land, inferentially with the fall of the Assyrians, the Gentiles, and the possession of the promised land. The time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Luke 21:24. Looking forward unto this time of the deliverance, the angel explained unto the Daniel, and at that time shall the Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And we are in that time right now. We're in it. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book Daniel 12:1. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria. And that's where we're at, the United States, and we're in the land of Assyria right now. And the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yahshua in the holy mount at Jerusalem, Isaiah 27:13. This brings in verse 10, this hour contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with His breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on. And someday, the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver, and up ahead I see a chasm wide. If then I turn and look up to my Savior, I'm strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. He says someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in Yah, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way, ever lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home. And there's someday the last step to be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.